And we welcome you back to Chat with a Cat. It is right here on KPAY Sports 1290 each and every Thursday. We talk with an influential Chico State Wildcat, either a current Wildcat, a former Wildcat, a member of the Wildcat family, player, coach, administrator, and this week it is someone that I feel like I know, and we were talking off the air. I feel like I've known her forever because we may be the two biggest Dodger fans in Butte County, but, and I've been told I can't talk to her about the Dodgers until I'm done with everything else, but we are going to get to that later on in the interview. It is Ellie LaRondi, a former Chico State volleyball player. Of course, she will always consider herself part of the Wildcat family forever. Ellie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's so awesome to be here. I'm coming down off of the high of the Dodger Padre series over the weekend, so I'm ready to do this. I'm fired up.
Yes, yes, and we will get into that, I promise, especially all those people that believe that the Dodger-Padre rivalry is the biggest in sports. So I'm going to have to – we can discuss that because I don't think it's at that level yet. But first, we will get into Chico State Wildcats first. But first, congratulations. You are graduating from the University of Kansas with a master's degree in sports management. You've done it online, and it becomes official next month. So –
thank you.
Yes, congratulations on that. Quickly talk about that whole process. I guess we'll start with sports management. Why has that been an option for you upon graduation? And we will backtrack in terms of your volleyball career and how great that was and your love for Chico State. But why was sports management something that appealed to you?
Yeah, totally. Obviously, I'm a huge sports fan, sports freak. It doesn't just start and stop with volleyball. Like you mentioned, I'm a huge Dodger fan, a big Los Angeles Rams fan. I think really after I graduated, I was kind of floating. I was so focused on volleyball while I was in college. I never really thought too far outside of that, you know, like what's my life going to look like in the future. I kind of worked some sales jobs back in Salinas, where I'm from. And eventually, we were up here actually for like a senior night for volleyball a few years later, and I got to sit down and talk with Anita, and I just kept thinking to myself, why am I not trying to be more involved with Chico's athletic program or with athletics, collegiate athletics as a whole? And Anita is such a huge influence for me. She wrote one of my letters of recommendation to get into school. I think having her as a role model in college obviously greatly influenced me, and having a female athletic director is so rare in this country. And I think having her be such a stud at her job was a huge, huge influence for me. So I really have to credit Anita. I think she really, I think, gave me that extra encouragement to apply and made me feel like I would be successful at it for sure.
Well, the amazing thing is Anita is such a, she's been such a strong leader for the program, for the athletic department, and it's not surprising. You're not the first person to say, you know, I've drawn a tremendous amount of experience from her, inspiration from her, and she's really led Chico State through some interesting times. The transition, of course, NCAC, CCAA. She was there at the kind of the outset of that, and then through this whole thing that we've had to deal with over the last year. But when you were an athlete, and we're talking in the 2011, 2015, do I have that right, in that neighborhood?
Yeah, my senior season was 2014, but graduate of 2015. Yeah.
And so during that time, what were some of the things that you kind of took from her in those years you were playing?
She was just always so poised. You could really tell that she was there for the student athletes. And I really just felt her presence constantly. And I know at a bigger school, you don't necessarily have that relationship with your athletic director. She had such a personal way. She went about everything so personally. And I knew once I met her, I knew she was going to remember me. She was constantly asking about me, about my family. Just taking that extra step to really prove that she cared about her student athletes, I think that creates such a level of trust. at least for me personally. And I'm just always going to be so grateful to her for everything that she did for me, for sure.
Yeah, and she certainly does like the I mean, she really wants her student-athletes to do well. But, man, you're not going to meet a more competitive athletic director.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think if as a student-athlete, is that something that you guys, one, can you pick up on? And two, I don't know if it's pressure, but it's got to be pretty awesome because I've always sensed like, hey, it's not just the administrative portion of this whole thing. She wants to win, and we're all pulling in the same direction, whether you're an alum, a current athlete, a former athlete, someone who's, you know, selling a student who's selling popcorn at halftime. I mean, she wants to win more than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, when you see her in the hallway the week that you're headed down to La Jolla to play UC San Diego, and all she can talk about is how badly you guys have beat them, like, of course, that's going to be on the front of your mind. And you want to win anyway, but having that extra level of competitiveness come from your athletic director is so major. It just really just fires you up, I think, even more than you already are. You know that she's in your corner. You know she's in every single student-athlete's corner. She has a strong program that she wants to lead and be the forefront of, and I think that's such an important leadership quality. Maybe there's a little bit of added pressure to be successful considering she is a female athletic director, but man, she handles it all with such grace and poise, and gosh, yeah, I loved, obviously, being a Chico State athlete has a huge part to do with her, and I just can't say enough great things about her. I mean, even when I was interviewing for my current position at Chico State, I think I talked about Anita through most of my interviews because she's just such an influential role model in my life. And I think it's really important to talk about the female leadership at Chico State right now, between Anita, between President Hutchinson. I think it's a really unique situation that the university finds itself in, and we're really lucky to have the ship being steered by some really powerful women.
You, we're talking with Ellie LaRondi, a former Chico State volleyball player who is making inroads in sports administration. Of course, as we mentioned, just about to graduate with her master's degree in sports management that she did online from the University of Kansas, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. I guess that's got to be a second in your college fandom. I'm going to go back a little bit because you were almost destined to come to Chico State. Your parents met here. They instilled the love of Chico State in their kids, and evidently that steering went quite well because all of their offspring decided to call Chico State home. Talk about your parents, the influence they've had on you, and also what made Chico State such a great fit.
Yeah, it was crazy. My dad originally started out at Sac State, and he came up. He was here in the 70s, and came up one weekend into the final Pioneer Days, and he was like, "That's it. I'm transferring like next week. I this is where I want to be. It's the college town vibe, the beauty of the university. Like, it really just doesn't get any better than that." And then he met my mom while she was getting her teaching credential up here, and he had graduated, so he was making missions up from, he was living in the San Luis Obispo area at the time, he was making missions up to Chico all the time to visit my mom and to spend some time up here. So I think they had always felt deeply connected and rooted to the area, and man, during the summers when we were growing up, we would come up here for 4 or 5 days at a time sometimes. And just walk around the campus, spend some time downtown, hang out at 1 Mile. We'd be out at Honey Run Covered Bridge and do some floating. And I have some of the memories here. And I always joke that my brothers and I were literally brainwashed to go to school here because nothing, even when we were touring other campuses growing up, there was none that ever compared to Chico State for us. It was kind of all or nothing. And my parents tried to be fair about it as I was going through the recruiting process. You know, we check out the university, and why don't we go visit this campus? And I think as soon as I knew that Chico State had a legit interest in me and my volleyball career, I was like, okay, I'm done. Ease it. I know that's where I want to be.
Yep, that's it. And it's such a familiar refrain from almost all of the student athletes. You just, you've got all these other options. You might have more options than others, but you step foot here and you either feel it or you don't feel it. And those that feel it usually can't be can't be pulled away. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Ellie. We'll talk about how she chose Chico State. She's a volleyball player, was athletically inclined in high school, had options. Of course, the push-pull, but the real pull toward Chico State and why it was the best option for her. And then what it was like playing Chico State volleyball at Chico State. And for a guy that we all miss, Cody Hind, former Chico State volleyball coach. We'll talk with Ellie about all of this as Chat with a Cat continues right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
The Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger is back at Carl's Jr. The 100% Angus beef topped with steak seasoning lets you know it's premium. The dripping A1 sauce lets you know it's delicious. My elusive whisper lets you know it's decadent. Go eat the Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger, part of the Angus Burger lineup at Carl's Jr. Feed your happy. Available for a limited time at participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. Price and participation may vary. A1 is a registered trademark of Kraft Foods.
This is Chat with a Cat. It is brought to you by Carl's Jr. Our special guest today, Ellie LaRondi, a Chico State volleyball alum. In the next month, she'll be graduating from the University of Kansas with a master's degree in sports management. And we talked a little bit about that and her desire to be involved in higher education in the athletic field and as an administrator. But she got all of this framework, all of this outline to her future endeavors at Chico State. Now, you were playing volleyball. You were being recruited. You had options. Now, you probably had some options that were pretty appealing. Did you have to almost sell yourself to Chico State a little bit, or were you on their radar? How did that work? And I know that you had the influence of your parents, but how did you get here?
Honestly, I think it all started my junior year of high school. I was on a very good high school team. We won our section. We won the NorCals. We were the runner-up in the state. And Jamie Houle, the former coach, had been at one of our, I think she was at our NorCal championship game, recruiting one of my teammates at the time. And up until then, I can't remember exactly what the, age is. I think it's 16 when the coaches can officially start reaching out to you. And I had gotten some exposure from Junior Olympics, but that was the first time that anyone from Chico State had seen me play. And I don't think recruiting wasn't like super in the forefront of my brain at that point. I was so competitive. I was so hungry, and I loved volleyball, in high school. I was so obsessed with it. And so as soon as we were able to establish some form of contact with Chico State, I was pretty much like hook, line, and sinker. Like every time Cody would come to our matches, my club match and watch, I was so nervous. I'm surprised, honestly. I played so bad. I'm surprised that he even continued to want to recruit me watching us play. But yeah, I obviously my parents' influence was huge in that, but they really were fair and like, hey, if you want to go check out these other campuses, you should absolutely go check out these other campuses. Like Chico doesn't have to be the be all and end all for you. But obviously there was a familiarity with the area and, even just being back on campus and imagining myself as a student athlete here and playing in Acker, I was done. I was like, yep, this is where I want to be. I came on my official visit in October of my senior year of high school, and I was set. I was like, I can see, it's like a home away from home already. So that was obviously important to me. Being so close to my family, it was important for me to feel comfortable, and it was just the perfect fit.
From what I understand, after your freshman year, you had a little bit of a come to Jesus talk with Cody. What was that all about? It was kind of a reality check. Were there expectations you were putting on yourself? Was there expectations you had for the team? Maybe they weren't meeting them. What was that discussion like?
I think I struggled with one, not playing. I had I ride the bench and really truly earn a spot in a long time, fight for a starting position. And I was playing under an All-American, and she was awesome. So I had some serious growing up to do. I think after freshman year, I was really, really hard on myself. I was coming off of a club season that hadn't gone exactly how I thought it should, and I didn't like losing. And when you're on the you're on the second string side playing games and you're losing constantly, I just, oh my gosh, it just drove me nuts. Cody would always say, you know, you have to hate losing sometime more than you love winning. And I would bat to a T. Like, yeah, winning's awesome, but man, losing really sucks.
Yeah.
And I think he recognized and obviously saw my competitive drive, but also saw that it was draining not only myself, but my teammates and my inability to kind of like move on and get over mistakes and get over the losses, because volleyball is such a fast-paced, quick game. You can't get stuck in your head at all, or else it's going to be super, you know, it's not going to work out well for you and your team. So he basically sat me down. We had our end of the year meeting after my freshman season, and he was like, you're going to kind of need to like get over yourself, essentially. And I, at the time, I didn't quite understand, and it definitely took me some growing up to do and some maturity to understand that I wasn't serving myself and I wasn't serving my team properly and in the best way that I could. I was definitely not being a great teammate. And once I got over the sting of the words, I think, I obviously took it to heart, and I really tried to move on to be a better teammate and to have a quicker, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I just needed to get over myself, essentially, and especially during the game, especially during our matches, and I'll lose, and that's just part of sports. I struggled my freshman year, but after that, I think I really got a better grip as to what Cody needed from me as an athlete and what I needed to be for myself, for sure.
Sometimes you get in those ruts. Coaches always say it. If we're winning, everyone is usually pretty darn happy, even at the end of the bench.
Right.
Everyone's pretty happy because, one, even if you're not playing, you're not happy about playing time. Well, everyone else is happy because we're winning, so I'm happy. But if mm-hmm. you're not playing a lot and you're losing, that's tough. That's when they say things start to come apart a little bit. And that can always be – it's really tough on – I see it a lot in college where there's athletes who have never had to play behind anybody throughout, you know, when they were learning the game. In high school, they were the star, and they come here, and all of a sudden, yeah, you're going to be you're going to play 6 to 8 minutes a game, or you're going to be our specialized bunter in the eighth inning, move a guy over. That's sometimes tough for student athletes who are navigating a lot of things to reconcile.
Yeah, and I think, obviously, it was my first time, you know, really truly being far away from home and struggling with being out on my own a little bit, and college life as a whole, just adjusting to that. And I think, obviously, volleyball being my outlet, I wasn't used to struggling in that way. And I think everyone tries to prepare prospective student-athletes for what the collegiate experience is like. But ultimately, I don't think there's anything that can prepare you for the amount of work that you put in and the amount of time and energy that it takes in your life playing in college. And it's a full, obviously, everyone says it's a full-time job, and that's true. But mental grind, you're exhausted, you're isolated from your family, you're trying to create a new family, and all that stuff is stressful, and I think all led to part of my, you know, needing to readjust my freshman year, readjust my priorities as a volleyball player and as a teammate. And I ultimately was able to come to terms with it and had a great experience. But I always tell student-athletes that are in high school, you know, that I'm considering being in college, my number one piece of advice is always make sure wherever you go, it's where you want to go to school. School is the ultimate underlying thing there. And because the sports side of things doesn't always work out. Because like I said, there's nothing that can truly prepare you for that experience. And you ultimately have to be where you want to get your education. That's the number one thing. And for me, that was obviously Chico State.
When you look at your career, you had the injury bug. I mean, you probably, if you looked at one thing that you wanted to have happen a little bit more during your career, it would probably be that you wanted to stay a little bit healthier. Talk about the litany of injuries and ailments that you had to kind of overcome to compete at a high level.
Yeah, before my sophomore season, or towards the end of my freshman season, I knew that I had something going on with my shoulder. Couldn't quite figure out what it was. In the off season, I had an MRI done. Unfortunately, had a doctored look at the MRI and didn't see the injuries that I had. And I played my whole sophomore season with tears in my rotator cuff and in my labrum. And it got so bad to the point where it was like, well, you know, the MRI doesn't say anything. And, you know, we're doing the best that we can to manage the pain. And Scott and Devin were huge in helping me try to just, like, function through the week. But it got to the point where I wasn't hitting any balls during the week. I was just playing on the weekends. And I played my entire sophomore season like that. And obviously at the end of the year, got a second opinion and, you know, oh, look, there's you got quite a bit of stuff going on in there. So I was able to be on the mend for my junior year. I think I almost waited a little too long to come back. And obviously, like, you deal with that at cons. But then my senior year, I sprained my back in our very first preseason practice. So that had me out for the first couple of weeks of the season. And all that time is so important. Bonding with your teammates, preseason's kind of like going to battle. And when you don't get those shared experiences with your teammates, it can make it kind of hard to get everybody on the same page. I wish I had been healthier. I think I would have been a more successful teammate if that had happened. But all in all, it was just about management, pain management, and just trying to get through the week and win some games, you know?
We're talking with Ellie LaRondi, former Chico State women's volleyball player and Chico State volleyball alum, Chico State alum, about to earn her master's in sports management from Kansas. And she is joining us on today's edition of Chat with a Cat. Cody was influential for a lot of people, and he passed away a little bit more than a year ago. We all knew that he was dealing with a lot of health issues. I don't think anyone, though, is prepared when a current coach, someone who is active and is in your life on a daily basis, passes away. What will you remember him by? What did you learn from him? And talk about how important he was, not only for you, but for the volleyball program.
One of the things that he said to me on my recruiting visit that I really resonated with me and my parents was, like, in reality, you're spending more time with me, your coach, than you're going to be spending with your parents for the next 4 years. And I want us to be able to have an open and honest relationship. And honesty was obviously something really, really big for him. And I think I was talking to my dad, who was struggling after celebrating a life at Acker Gym, because I only knew one side to who he was as a person. He had so many different facets of his life and so many friends and so many talents and things that he was good at and enjoyed. And as a player and in a coach player relationship, sometimes you only get to know your coach as the coach, you know? And I think I understand why he kept those parts of his life maybe a little bit more sheltered from us. And I know he was always preaching adversity and always preaching, how to battle adversity. And he was dealing with that for literally every second of his life. And he wanted to be represented as, like, a strong and independent coach. And I totally understand now why those parts of his life stayed close to the chest for him. Because he only wanted us to know him as Cody Hine, you know, the hardcore, intense, supportive volleyball coach. And he was, like I said, he was always preaching adversity. That's something that I will obviously take with me forever, and just how to constantly battle through things through your life. He was battling every day and really taught us how to battle on the volleyball court. And for that, I'll always be really appreciative to him and to his family for sure.
He instilled in the program, and you kind of mentioned it during our interview, that he talked about how important the program is, even if after you graduate. And I would imagine, I mean, we see this on, I mean, I've spoken with so many runners in track and field and cross country. You speak with the baseball team, once a cat, always a cat, Wildcat family, all of these hashtags. They're not just hashtags. I mean, if you are part of that family, you are part of that family. You are going to be in each other's weddings. You are going to go to vacations together. You are going to be going to golf outings together, dinner with a wife and kids. We've seen it, and it happens. So it sounds like he instilled that from the volleyball perspective in all these sports. It is something. It's not just lip service when you talk about being part of a Wildcat family, because it's not something you leave. You may get extricated from it. You may be asked not to come back. But if you choose to be part of it, it's part of you.
Yeah, it's for life, no doubt. And I know how excited it always made Cody to see other alums at our away games or traveling back to Chico to be back in Acker Gym to support the volleyball team. I always knew how much that meant to him. And I know every year, every spring, we tried to have an alumni weekend where he would get to visit and see girls that he hadn't seen in a long time, and we'd all get together and play some volleyball. But having the alumni interaction was really important to him, and he was always asking us, you know, as an adult graduation, what does being a Wildcat mean to you, and how has it helped you through your now adult life, and how has it helped you to get to where you are today? So we were constantly having girls come through and give pregame speeches, give postgame speeches, give their take on our games. If any of them were around in the week, they'd show up and talk to Cody during our practices and sit in on some team meetings. So that involvement and interaction was always super important to him. And it's the least that we can do to try to honor his legacy and to keep that going. And speaking of weddings, I'm in a Wildcat wedding myself next month, or in a couple months. So it's huge. I mean, it's awesome to be able to keep in contact with everybody, and ultimately what brought us together was Chico State, and I think that's so powerful and so important, and obviously always going to be grateful to Cody for ultimately giving me that opportunity and making me part of a family that I really needed. You know, being away from home, being a part of the Wildcat family is almost like it transcends sports. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I had this discussion a little bit ago with a friend who didn't know how close I was to. I mean, knows I do the Chico State games, but he had mentioned, well, you know, it's really just all about championships. It's all about, and I was like, oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I go wait a minute. I said, That's not at all. Championships are something fantastic. Seeing a banner and having a championship is amazing. I'm not going to take anything from that. The importance of the entire college athletic experience is the journey, the day-to-day grind. I said, people who don't play may see the banner and say, oh, you won a championship. But the day-to-day grind of the practice of the bad days, the good days, the camaraderie, the friendships. I said, that is it. That is it. Because you're going to blink and it's going to be over. I get the sense that you really stress living in the moment. I mean, you got to take all this in because it is a limited amount of time.
Yeah. And coming from someone, an athlete who didn't get to hang any championship banners, I think being present in the moment is really the only way to deal with the adversity as you're going through it as an athlete. It's not like it's this easy, you know, it's not an easy thing to go through when you're struggling to get some wins, struggling to make playoffs. I was never on bad teams. We're good teams, but the playoff structure was different then. So now it's, you know, the top eight teams get to go to a conference tournament, much like the basketball tournament. But we didn't have that. There was a board of coaches that got to vote who would go to the Western Region playoffs, and we missed it by one spot my first 3 years. And that was really frustrating, you know, to sit in a watch party and to not hear your team's name called for a selection for the playoffs was really, really hard, really hard and disheartening, I think, for a lot of us. But ultimately, it hopefully brings you close together as a group. And you continue to go to battle, even though you're not getting the wins that you might get. You're not getting the playoff spots that you hope to get. A lot of people don't talk about the challenges in that way, and I think it's important to bring up because it's definitely not all hanging banners. I wish it was. I wish that we had that experience.
But being a student athlete is so much more of an encompassing experience than just hanging a banner, you know. And congrats to all those teams that I got to experience that. That wasn't my experience, but it didn't mean that I loved Chico State any less, or that I, you know, loved being a Chico State athlete any less. It was part, like that. It was part of the journey, and to be able to embrace that and move through that, and continue to go to 3-4 hour practices every day, and continue to show up present on Friday and Saturday nights in Acker Gym for your games. Like, that's a mental grind, and it's important to talk about that stuff for student athletes as well, I think.
We're talking with Ellie LaRondi, former Chico State volleyball player, and we've been talking about her experience as she looks to develop her sports management career, about to get her master's in sports management from Kansas, and we've been talking Chico State volleyball. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, this is the segment of the show that Ellie and I have been waiting for. We're going to talk about our favorite sports franchise that is not Chico State. And we are going to spend a little bit of time because, you know, if you haven't been following us on Twitter, you understand that there's certain things we need to get out. So It's necessary. We're going to talk it through because, you know what? We have the airtime and we're going to do it right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
The Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger is back at Carl's Jr. The 100% Angus beef, topped with steak seasoning, lets you know it's premium. The dripping A1 sauce lets you know it's delicious. My elusive whisper lets you know it's decadent. Go eat the Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger, part of the Angus Burger lineup at Carl's Jr. Feed your happy.
Available for a limited time at participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. Price of participation may vary. A1 is a registered trademark of Kraft Foods.
This is Chat with a Cat. I'm Mike Baca with Ellie LaRondi, former Chico State volleyball player. Just a little bit of history. I mean, Ellie and I, this is the first time we've even spoken words together, this interview. We've never even met.
Oh, my gosh, right.
I know. We've never
so
even.
Weird.
Yeah, we've never spoken. But on Twitter, we've basically been pals for about 3 or 4 years, probably. Maybe even longer than that. I'm not sure.
I would even say longer. Yeah, I'd
it
say
might
longer.
Be
I'm
longer.
Be over on that.
Yeah, it yeah. might be. Yeah, it might be when her playing days and stuff. So we've been Twitter pals for a long time, and we hit it off pretty darn quickly because we are huge Los Angeles Dodger fans. We've gone through all the glories. We've gone through the numerous frustrating defeats, especially in October. And it seems like in some respects we almost have the same mind sometimes when we're thinking about, but when Dave Roberts left Kershaw in game 5 against the Nationals,
oh, man.
And I think everyone is screaming, get him out of there, go to Caloric, get him out of there. And I was saying it, you were saying it, like, Now, and we love this. Is he is on our Mount Rushmore of Dodgerdom.
He's our guy.
He is our guy. But we are realists too. We've got scar tissue from Matt Adams and all these other Matt Carpenter and all these other games.
Matt Adams, why are you taking me back to this place right now, Baca?
Sorry.
Oh my gosh!
Sorry,
Matt
didn't
Adams.
Mean. Sorry. I still wake up in a cold sweat. Talk about your Dodger fandom. How you got it? How it was instilled and how it's developed into this, I think you can say a Dodger craziness.
Oh, yeah. It's pure upsetting. I think I'm the oldest, and I'm the only girl, and I think sports always provided a way for my dad and I to bond. He's from Bishop, California, so not necessarily anywhere near L.A., but they got a lot of the L.A. radio stations growing up, and obviously Vince Scully's on the radios. How are you going to be obsessed listening to Vince Scully all the time? So my grandpa was initially a Cubs fan, but kind of came to become obsessed with Dodgers when he moved to Bishop and lived in Bishop. But yeah, it was basically like be a Dodger fan or live outside. So I chose the roof over my head, and it always provided something for my dad and I and my brothers and I to bond over. And my mom, even being a Bay Area native, she's born and raised in Salinas. She grew up 49ers, Giants, but she's come to the blue side of things, and it's a full family affair for the LaRondis. And gosh, it's provided some of the best times and the worst times for sure. But it was awesome for the World Series this past year. I was able to drive home for, you know, the last game of the series. I was able to drive home and surprise them, and we watched the Dodgers win the World Series together. And there were lots of tears. There was lots of champagne. It was a great night. Oh, my gosh. Years of frustration just gone. Didn't even matter anymore.
It didn't. It really didn't. And I found it to be crazy emotional as well, because you could almost see the writing on the wall with the way Urias was throwing. The outs were being counted down. And the final strikeout happens. And I'm like, my son, I was not going to do that and wake him up. I recorded it for him, and I sat there and I saw it, and all of a sudden this massive well of emotion just poured out of me. I sobbed for 2 minutes. I mean, yeah. Uncontrollable sobbing, because I've loved this team for my entire life. Dodger fans have had to live through so much that has been not fun. You've had to live through...
Gosh, right?
Yeah, Bonds domination, Giants win 3 championships, and the Dodgers getting their guts ripped out year after year after year. And it felt like this entire release of all of this just came out in that one moment. And I think, I don't know if you felt this way, but it felt that was a huge part of it, was that I can finally release this that has just been boiling down there.
Yeah, I think I have a funny story. So... the 2002 World Series was the Angels and the Giants,
yes.
Obviously. So
yes.
I'm in fourth grade. I'm wearing my Dodger visor to school every day. Kids are ripping it on my head, aren't in the bash, the whole nine yards. But it's Halloween, and there's a scary hat contest at school. So my mom actually gives me the idea, hey, why don't you wear Angels hat to school and, like, have a sign on it that says Giants Worst Nightmare. So I go to school with my Angels hat, Giants Worst Nightmare, and get on stage, fourth and fifth grade school, get on stage for the scariest hat competition, and I get booed off the stage by fourth and fifth graders. I mean, it's like aggressive. So I think for me, a lot of the joy that I felt obviously was for that fourth grade Ellie, who like had to endure all the Dodger Giant hardships. I was just surreal to watch them. And it almost, I don't know about you, but obviously I'm a little jaded. So there were so many about that game 6 where I was just like, it's too good to be true. Like, they're going to find a way. Somehow Dave's going to find a way to,
yep,
like, bring Kenley in and leave him in for too long. It's going to be it, and we're going to go to game 7. And I didn't trust it, which is my own fault. But, man,
yeah,
at the end of it, it was just pure jubilation. I mean, my dad, with the emotion that he had. We had been lucky enough to go to a game. We went to game 2 of the 2017 World Series. We went to game 4, I believe. Yeah, I think game 4. Game 5 of the 2018 World Series. So being able to all be together, watch them win, it was magical. And that's the amazing thing about sports, and I think personally about baseball. It's truly magical, as cheesy as that sounds. It transports you to another place and another time, and man, it's cool.
I've always said it's proof that there is a God, because no human being could create something so perfect. And I know that there's the cheese factor on that is a lot of people saying, oh, come on. But if you are romantic about baseball, that's how you feel. Because
I'm completely bought into that,
yeah,
100%.
I'm giving you the floor. What, your thoughts on Dave Roberts?
Obviously, I respect Dave. I don't know why he is, like, so gung-ho on making Kenley our closer. This year?
Yes, I agree.
Shown some grit this year. He's throwing the ball a little bit harder. He's coming in at 94 and 95 instead of, you know, 90 and 91 like last year. But, man, I'm excited about some of the guys that they've been able to get. Like, I think the Knievel signing is going to be huge. I think he's going to eventually get back to his 2019 form or 2018 form and really get that curveball going again. Watching Kershaw pitch the other night, Saturday night, was unbelievable. It's total vintage Kershaw. And how can you not be excited about Mookie Betts? I mean, I can't believe that there was a team out there that just had him and decided that they'd want him more. I'll never understand what I thought thinking on that.
I hear a lot of people saying that the Dodger-Padre rivalry, best in sports, it's the best rivalry in sports. I then have to go beep, back it up a little bit. First of all, one, nothing beats Dodger-Giant rivalry in terms of how a Dodger fan views it. Two, I would even say that if you look from a historical perspective, the Dodger-Yankee rivalry is bigger because of now, because even though they don't play each other, it's two big market teams that seem to always be in a little bit of a financial arms race. This is a great matchup. These are two really good teams, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for the Padres. But to say it's a rivalry, ugh.
Would have been irrelevant for how long now?
Yes.
I mean, come on. They haven't even been able to produce winning teams until, what, last year?
Yes.
I mean, I get it. You've got a lot of talent, and you made a lot of acquisitions this offseason to be competitive for that first spot. But I think that this series, this past weekend, just proved. I mean, they've got Manny Machado out there running the bases injured, stealing bases. I get it. Like, all of a sudden, he can hustle now. That's cool. But I don't understand how you look at this weekend if you're a Padre fan, if you're an actual Padre fan, and think, oh, this is a huge smashing success. You've got Yu Darvish walking runs. I can't believe I didn't even mention the Astros. Man,
there's
a team that I truly hate in sports. It's the Astros.
Yes.
So Padres are irrelevant to me right now at this moment. I think they're a lot of fun to watch. I love watching Tatis Jr. do his thing out there. And I thought it was interesting that they chose to bring him back for this series because he's been out for a little while, been injured, and I think obviously his play showed that. But I can't wait to watch him get back in the saddle and back settled in. And he's such a phenomenal athlete. But yeah, for me it's the Astros. Giants right now obviously going through some challenging times. They're rebuilding and. It's not fun for me as a Dodger fan when the Giants aren't good. Like, I love the competitive games, and I love the smack talk that comes with that. But, yeah, for me right now, it's definitely the Astros.
Well,
I can't stand them.
You know, Ellie, we're sounding a little elitist right now.
Are we? Oh, man, that was not my intention or my goal. But, you know, when you're talking about the Dodgers, it's hard not to sound that way, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. It's very difficult.
No, I was just going to say, if they don't find a way to figure out the Seager deal, I'm going to be devastated. That guy has been riddled with injuries and has finally found his true MVP form, just like when he was Rookie of the Year. And I really hope that the front office can find a way and that his camp can find a way to come to an agreement, because I think he's going to be a really essential player for them moving forward.
We are speaking with Ellie LaRondi. It was the first half of the interview, of course, was on Chico State volleyball, her future career in sports management, and we've wrapped it up with a lot of Dodger talk, and it has been an absolute pleasure. I mean, honestly, I've told Luke, I said, oh, man, I'm so bummed. He says, well, your interview's only 30 minutes. I said, no, this one will probably go an hour because I don't think Ellie and I can keep that underneath the hour, but we're going to have to. It has been awesome. It's just been a pleasure. We finally have a chance to talk after all these years.
I just think that the Dodger ceiling is like limitless at this point, obviously.
Yes, yes. We're riding high. This is our time. This is our time, Ellie.
Absolutely. I'm loving it.
All right. Ellie LaRondi, thank you so much. And we hope to talk
to you
again.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Anytime.
Absolutely. This has been Chat with a Cat right here on KPAY Sports 1290.